In a late Friday news dump, after the markets have closed, the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation announced our first bank failure of 2024. And the question on everyone's mind, does this mark the opening of a second chapter in the banking crisis? The latest name was a small bank in Philadelphia, a victim of its own bubble behavior. And that's really the theme that we keep coming back to. On Friday, state regulators in Pennsylvania felt that they had to seize the bank. They sold off its assets and transferred its deposits to another Pennsylvania bank, somehow costing taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars in the process. The FDIC statement on Friday simply said, Philadelphia-based Republic First Bank, doing business as Republic Bank, was closed today by the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities, which appointed the FDIC as receiver. To protect depositors, the FDIC entered in an agreement with Fulton Bank National Association of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to assume substantially all of the deposits and purchase substantially all of the assets of Republic Bank. As of January 31st, 2024, Republic Bank had approximately $6 billion in total assets and $4 billion in total deposits. The FDIC estimates that the cost to the deposit insurance fund related to the failure of Republic Bank will be $667 million. Which is infuriating. How does a bank with only $4 billion in deposits end up costing almost $700 million in losses? That's a video all its own, how we keep coming back to something like that. This is a relatively small bank, but that's a huge hit. And before we get into what's really happening here, what are the details for Republic First, and why does it maybe matter as far as the second chapter of the banking crisis, let's stop for a second and appreciate the coincidences here. It seems as though regulators and the government are just trolling us at this point. Because on May 1st, 2023, First Republic had failed, which closed the first chapter in the banking crisis. And now almost exactly a year later, a bank named Republic First fails. And does that open the second chapter of the bank crisis? It leaves us asking those types of questions. So what a coincidence that is. It's almost like we're living in a simulation after all. But again, the issue isn't specifically about the small bank, because this is a small bank. This is not even in the same scale as Silicon Valley Bank or Signature, just $6 billion in assets and $4 billion in deposits. That's not really the concern here. And obviously, with markets open on Monday, it's not like everyone's panicking. The big problem that we keep coming back to is this behavior that we see in Republic First Bank is widely replicated throughout the, not just banking system, but also the economy. The downside of the supply shock is, in essence, fixing all of the imbalances that showed up during 2020 and 2021 and into 2022. Those same imbalances that we can see in banks like Republic First, or First Republic for that matter. Republic First, victim of its own bubble assumptions and behavior, had expanded aggressively. And expanding aggressively during 2020 and 2021 and parts of 2022, which seems to me more rational thinking would have said, hey, maybe lockdowns, pandemic, we don't really know how this is going to go. We should probably be a little bit more cautious. But you can also understand where this bubble behavior also came from. At the time, you had the government pouring trillions and trillions of dollars, the government, not the Fed, pouring trillions and trillions of dollars, redistributing from the treasury market to public, to people, to citizens, and small banks were beneficiary of that with all those deposits at the same time. Government saying we're going to guarantee everything, we're going to continue to intervene until everything's just fine. At the same time, we also had this thinking that CPIs were the economy. The economy's red hot, it's inflationary. Now is the perfect time to aggressively expand. You got the government at your back. So that bubble type of thinking was indeed common and widespread. It wasn't just small bank outliers like Republic First. It was in most of the major companies around the world. Again, the downside of the supply shock was a pretty clear indication of how wide and how widespread this thinking actually went. And that's really the concern. It's not just one bank here or there. There's lots of banks who have similar problems. What was First Republic actually doing? Well, in one sense, we don't necessarily know because they stopped reporting. With the eruption of the banking crisis, and really before then, Republic First hasn't filed any of the SEC financial statements since the third quarter of 2022. And the latest figures that we do have from their website only go to the first quarter of 2023. So as soon as that first chapter of the banking crisis erupted, Republic First is like, you don't really want to share any more information, which of course is a red flag. And it's, you know, this bank has been a troubled bank for quite some time. As Bloomberg reported back in October, the FDIC sought bids for the bank on October 23rd, but told potential buyers 2 days later that it would delay making a decision until this week, said the people who asked not to be identified because it's not public. Bidders haven't heard anything back since then because the FDIC indicated that the process may be on hold. And indeed it was, because it appeared as though Republic First had secured a $35 million capital infusion, which would allow the bank some space to then start thinking about maybe executing a turnaround. But what we didn't know, and what nobody really knew, was that the bailout, the private infusion of capital, was yanked. The deal was terminated way back in late February of this year. So that raises a bunch of questions. What happened between late February and the end of April? Because last week, Bloomberg again reported that the FDIC was shopping Republic First around to other buyers. But as they were doing so, before they could even get the bidding process underway, reportedly, state regulators in Pennsylvania stepped in and seized the bank. What's going on in Republic First balance sheet? Not just the asset side, but more importantly on the liability side. Are we looking at a potential fire sale? Was there a deposit outflow? Well, let's get into the details that we do have from Republic First. Again, as I said, aggressive expansion. Massively aggressive expansion. They reported about $3.3 billion in assets in 2019. That was up to $5.6 billion by the end of 2021 and $6.16 billion in the unaudited latest figures that we have for the first quarter of 2023. So nearly double the size of the bank during the pandemic period. Again, that doesn't seem like the most rational type of decision. Limited information we do have on their asset composition comes from the third quarter 2022 audited statement that was filed with the SEC. They show a large proportion of available for sale securities, $1.2 billion, that at the end of 2022 only had a fair value of $1 billion. I mean, it's the usual stuff, CMOs, agency, MBS, corporate bonds. What this suggested was that the bank was aggressively courting deposits, growing their liability side, and then anticipating being able to lend out the funds over a longer period of time to take advantage of that booming economy. And so in the meantime, as deposit funds came in, they were investing in what they thought were going to be safe and liquid instruments like corporate bonds and CMOs and agency MBS. They were just parking their funds, getting somewhat of a return because they weren't expecting to be hit with a deposit flight. They thought their deposit funding would be stable and secure, and that would give them more than enough time to execute their growth plan. But instead, everything started to turn around. Not only did their portfolio of available for sale securities start to go underwater, they started to run into problems being able to lend out the funds because 2022 was not exactly a great time to do so. You had to wait for interest rates to normalize. Suddenly you're confronted with the idea that I don't want to lend out funds today if interest rates are going to be much higher down the road. You can't lock in that sort of return, that low-level return, especially when your costs are starting to go up. So they ran into enormous amounts of problems, including deposit flight, because the bank ended up losing deposits as well. It wasn't a huge amount, but it was enough to cause them to try to fill in that gap with massive amounts of borrowing, staggering amounts of borrowing. When you look at their liability side, what you see is a huge amount of senior debt that showed up in 2022. They reported about $81 million in 2021, so they were debt-free in 2021. There was some debt in 2020, but that was related to almost certainly by the pandemic relief stuff, a paycheck protection program and all that crap. But then in 2022, suddenly the reported level of senior debt shot up to $800 million, and then it was $1.04 billion as of the first quarter of 2023. So they're borrowing tons of funds just to stay afloat, to close the gap with losing deposits. They'd established a pretty substantial line of credit with the Federal Home Loan Bank in Pittsburgh, which gave them a maximum allowance of about $1.5 billion as of September 30th, 2022. Again, the latest data that we had. And they were only showing, the bank was only showing about, showing that they withdrew about $442 million of that as of September 2022, though their latest statement as of the first quarter of 2023 showed that they had, in fact, withdrawn more, $645 million. What brought the bank to the point that the FDIC is soliciting bidders on their behalf? Well, I mean, we know they're a troubled bank. They had available for sale securities that were heavily underwater. And any move that caused them to have to sell those securities would have meant immediate losses. So this was a troubled bank that regulators knew about and were trying to deal with it some way, somehow. But what happened again between late February and just recently? Were they hit with a deposit flight? Was this a liquidity issue where one of the loans that they had took out over the last year suddenly came due and they had no way to repay it? Is this the BTFP? In the years since the bank actually reported its previous statement, had Republic First gone to the Fed's BTFP window for a one-year loan? Maybe that has suddenly come due. They were not able to access the discount window to repay that loan or another loan. Or are we actually seeing another wave of deposit flights? And asking those questions, that's where most of our attention actually gets drawn to. What is happening on the liquidity side for Republic First that has led to this, you know, first of all, soliciting bidders and now to its seizure? Because we see a couple things in the general banking statistics that suggests there's maybe a little bit more to this story. We don't have a whole lot of details. In fact, we have no details, which, I mean, that's what Republic First has been doing ever since last year. They've been hiding all their details, hoping to skulk around in the shadows and find a way out of this mess. And that's what the government is doing, too. Their entire plan rests upon buying enough time to space out these events so that they don't ever bunch up and lead to some kind of systemic breakdown. That we have just enough time to kick the can down the road a little bit further, then a little bit further, and a little bit further, one at a time, so that everything can normalize at a slow, relatively stable, steady pace. That's what everyone is trying to do. It's commercial real estate behavior. It's everything. We've got bubble imbalances that nobody... The lesson of the 2008 crisis was don't do it all at once. But we do have to go through this anyway. So what is it that caused Republic First to then seek FDIC help and then state regulators come in and saying you're done? And what we see in the banking statistics, starting with the Fed's BTFP, is the BTFP fell pretty sharply in the initial weeks after the Fed closed down making new loans. So you had a big decrease. Everybody paid off the loans that they had taken out, at least those in the first couple weeks. Now it's leveled off over the last 3 weeks at about $125.5 billion. And the thing with the BTFP, while the arbitrage, free-for-all, Wall Street, free money thing got everyone's attention at the end of last year and the start of this year, the question was always, okay, how much of the BTFP was arbitrage? Because there was about $170 billion at one point. And how much was actual banks, maybe like First Republic, Republic First, I knew I was going to get those wrong, maybe like Republic First, that were on the BTFP, had borrowed one-year loans, and were just sweating bullets, waiting for that one-year expiration maturity when they had to pay back the Fed and realize that they probably couldn't. Is that what we're seeing here? Is that what precipitated the events of last week? It's possible. We have no idea. But how many other banks might there be in this similar situation as we go forward from here who have to pay back these loans and other loans that they've taken out to try to survive and keep themselves afloat in the wake of their bubble behavior the last couple years? That's the systemic issue. How many more banks are in the same boat? As far as a potential deposit flight, we got some pretty concerning statistics from the Federal Reserve. It's H8 data on commercial banks throughout the United States. We've seen deposits decrease from commercial banks in the last 3 weeks, and in particular, last week. According to their numbers, over the last 3 weeks, deposits have gone down by almost $200 billion. Now, these are seasonally adjusted numbers, which means they do take into account the usual behavior around April 15th with tax payments. So that's in there. And in fact, you go back through the data, some years you see deposits go up, go down. You see cash go up, go down. There really is no detectable pattern around April 15th. So it's not like what we're seeing, the deposit drain or the cash drain, which I'll talk about in just a second, is related or apparently related to a higher than expected need for paying taxes. So $198 billion in the last 3 weeks, after deposits had been building from the middle part of February into March, and really they've been rising since the end of November. Suddenly they turned around over the last 3 weeks, really the first 3 weeks of April. What changed in April as far as the deposit situation? And we know that's not interest rates either, because it's not like money market funds are getting tons of higher interest rates that they can hand out as higher returns to bank depositors who realize they have an opportunity, an alternative to go to money market funds. Short-term money market rates are basically and have been stable all this time. Something happened when we hit April that caused depositors to yank funds from the entire banking system. So we left wondering if maybe Republic First was one of those that was hit with too much of these withdrawals, was not able to cope with it. And those withdrawals apparently triggered a cash drain. I talked about this in a previous video too, where banks were hit with a massive cash drain in the middle of March, huge cash drain. But unlike last year, they weren't able to rebuild their cash with emergency borrowings. Instead, just last week alone, the Federal Reserve reports $93 billion in cash had been drained from the banking system. Cash being withdrawn, deposits going down, banking system, as far as lending goes, still highly defensive as they have been since last year, which is an indication that banks don't feel comfortable taking on more risk. We see consumer loans that are falling, commercial and industrial loans. But the banking system as a whole, experiencing deposit withdrawals, cash drains, and uncertainty on their balance sheet, the asset side, risk aversion behavior, it doesn't add up to a booming economy that banks feel comfortable with in extending all of their activities. Depositors may be thinking, is something really happening here? Do we need to rethink our association with some of these banks? So this whole thing it's not really about Republic First, nor just like it wasn't about First Republic. This isn't about a small bank in Philadelphia that's even smaller than the banks that we saw fail last year. It's about the behavior we keep running across. Aggressive expansion for all of the wrong reasons and doing it in all of the wrong ways that left them vulnerable to the correction. That's what we're going through here. We're going through a correction process. All of those rationalizations that went along with the post-pandemic period, or the last stage of the pandemic, government backstops, permanent plateau of prosperity. The CPI means the economy's red hot. It's going to stay that way forever. So no one was prepared for when all of those assumptions would be first challenged and then proven to have been false. So the process of correcting for that is a painful one. And not only are the participants that are undergoing that process trying to draw it out as long as they possibly can for understandable reasons, regulators and authorities are doing exactly the same thing, trying to space out these events so that they don't bunch up together and lead to a more and bigger chance for disorderly unwinding of everything, because that's what has to happen. We still need to unwind and correct for all of those errors and mistakes. And as I said, it's not just in these small banks. These are not just outliers. The behavior keeps coming, we keep seeing it all over the real economy. Largest corporations on the planet fell for the same types of assumptions and rationalizations. And in one respect, that's what the downside of the supply shock actually is. It's realizing that all of those assumptions were wrong and having to take the pain to do something about it. So Republic First by itself doesn't really mean all that much. The question we have is, did something materially change that has swept up Republic First in another episode or another chapter of that same process? Are we looking at a second run at a banking crisis? And I don't mean run on the banks, but I do mean a second challenge that will lead to more obvious problems or more information coming out, or in commercial real estate, actual price discovery. Are we getting more information, a better sense of everything that needs to happen to get rid of all of the bubble behavior of the last couple of years? Could renewed anxiety about the banking system explain some of gold's soaring behavior, or might there be other factors in it? Well, that's the video we got linked below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.